Hallelujah.
I keep telling you this, and I just know one of these days you're going to catch on. Read the back of the book. We win. Amen. Now they're just not in the use of getting all shook up about anything. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Just think about it. 200 years from today, how good this is all going to be. Amen. And that's no long time away. Not when you're going to live forever. Amen. Hallelujah. And the next time the devil comes around and says he's going to kill you, laugh at him. Yeah. And then when he threatens to ruin your reputation, I lost my reputation before I got saved, and so did you. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah. Glory. And then while you're at it, just tell him, say, well, now, why are you here talking to me, telling me all this trash, and what are you going to do to me? Let's talk about your future. You don't have one. You do not have a future, Mr. Devil. You are not in my future. You have no future. If there ever was anybody that's got a bad outlook, it's the devil. I'm telling you. His string's getting shorter every day. And it's really got him tore up, man. Amen. Turn around and shake hands with two or three people and say, we win. We win, glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. You can be seated. I want you to agree with me tonight and pray and set yourselves in agreement. I have a very specific assignment from the Lord, and I'm determined to carry it out. So, in order to do so, in order to get out what the Lord's laid on my heart, what He's instructed me to do, then and to do it in the time that we have, between now and Saturday night, then we're going to have to release our faith. And it's going to have to be absolutely none of me and all of Him. Amen. I didn't come here for Him to help me. I came here to help Him. Amen. And so you agree with me in that tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, I accept the assignment that You have placed in my heart and before me for these services and this service tonight, tomorrow and Saturday. And it doesn't end there. These are the just opening days and starting places for all of us. For we'll take the information that You bring out of our spirits and into our minds tonight, tomorrow, Saturday. And it will continue to feed and to grow on the inside of us from now on and become part of all that You are teaching and leading us to do and be a part of. We thank You for it. We receive Your word. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I will do that. Thank You, Lord. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John. And this will be in the 16th chapter, please. This will be our base and foundation from which we will begin tonight, and then we will stand on this, and this will be our text, in John's Gospel, chapter 16. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Look at the 13th verse, please. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. Now that's wonderful, isn't it? He will glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. Now here's one of the most startling verses in the Scripture. And it really takes some faith and just spiritual determination and just plain old guts enough to believe it. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, said I, He shall take of Mine and show it unto you. Well, do you think that could mean little old me and little old you? Amen. That's why Jesus came. To become a bridge. He's called the mediator between God and man. The bridge between God and man. God never intended. It was a lie of the devil in Eden's garden for the devil to tell the man and the woman that God didn't want them to know anything. God wanted them to know everything. Amen. He did not want them to know evil by experiencing it. He wanted them to learn it from Him and have authority over it. Did Jesus understand the difference between good and evil?
Yeah.
Did He have to sin to find it out? Absolutely not. How did He learn? He was taught of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Taught from the Scriptures. Hallelujah. That's what God had planned for Adam. But Adam never let it get far enough. So, Jesus has bridged that gap in order to give us everything He has.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's overwhelming. The more you meditate on it, it is a staggering thought, but it is what love does. Love doesn't hold anything back. That's the lie of the devil. It's a religious lie.
Amen.
That God is making it hard to understand His will. I heard somebody on television not too long ago. There's somebody talking about the will of God, and this guy kind of looked, you know, kind of dumbfounded. He said, "Oh, well, who could ever know that?" I said, "I do." That's the way natural man thinks, and natural religion has convinced people of that. But Jesus is the bridge between what we don't know and all that God does know. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I was studying and praying concerning these these same things. Excuse me. This was on the 20th day of October. And I read those scriptures that I just read you, and they kept resounding inside of me. And I said, "Lord, I know." And I, as I was meditating these things, this came out of, I wrote it down here in my Bible. I didn't want to, I wanted to give it to you exactly like it came out of my spirit. I was praying, and this just came out my mouth, out of my spirit. It wasn't something that I was consciously thinking, but it was something I was praying about. That to grasp firm, positive leading of the Lord, the will of God for my life, my calling, this ministry, where it's supposed to go, what I'm supposed to do. Well, I said, I know you're not holding back. It's me that's not hearing accurately enough and quickly enough. And I want to do better than that. And I read those verses again, and this is what came out. I mean, it just came out. I said, oh, glory to God. I know there's no problem with the Holy Spirit's hearing.
That's true.
Well, look what he said. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Amen. So, the problem is not with his not speaking. He is not an absentee father. Well, God, don't ever speak to me. Well, do you think it might be that you don't ever hear rather than he never does speak? Could be you instead of God that's got the problem. Amen. The problem is never with God not carrying out his word. The problem is always in our not receiving, because he's already done his part. He sent Jesus to that cross. He defeated hell. He defeated darkness. He defeated all of the enemies of man. And freely he has opened the hand of his love and his mercy to bring the blessing of Abraham on the rest of us. Praise God. Amen. So, it's not been with the fact that God didn't do. It's with the fact we didn't receive what God has already done. And when you bring that concept up in the forefront of your thinking all the time, and you never allow yourself to think any other way, it is amazing how quickly things begin to respond and react to what God said would take place in his word. Now, when I prayed that, I said, Lord, I know there's no problem with the Holy Spirit's hearing, so the problem is with mine. For whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Well, how many things have to happen before I finally get out ahead? He said things to come, not things that's already taken place. Amen. Well, if you knew, if you had enough guidance from the Holy Ghost to know what things are coming, it would be hard to shake you up, wouldn't it? Amen. It's when they happen and you find it out. Man, not again. Amen. I wish I'd have known this yesterday. You could have. And that's embarrassing when you find out that you could have all along. Oh, yeah, but Brother Copeland, I'm not a preacher. I mean, who would they? They never said anything about a preacher. There are preachers all over the world that are just as dumb as everybody else. Amen. No, that's not. It's not for the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. It's for the believer. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, and right then, I said, Lord, right now, I am determined to hear. I open my ears towards you right now. I believe I receive what Jesus is speaking to you. I receive it. Oh, And things right
that moment,
things started flowing through me. And I thought, he sent his word and it healed.
That's right.
Yes. Wow. He sent his word and it healed him. Well, I have his written word. And I stand on that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But when I stand on that written word and I take that with my faith and I stand on it in the name of Jesus and I declare it with my mouth, what do you think Jesus is doing all this time?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. All you have to do is read the third chapter of the book of Hebrews and you find out. He is the high priest of our profession.
Yes.
As ordered by God according to the orders of Melchizedek.
Yes.
Who was the high priest of God. And God told him.
Yeah.
To go receive Abram's tithe and bless him. And Melchizedek obeyed. That very sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews is, and it goes ahead to say that Jesus, a high priest, after the orders of Melchizedek, and explains what I just got through saying about Abraham and his receiving his tithe and blessing him. And then it says, here men that die receive tithes. There he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed he lives. One translation says it witnessed he lives forever. He is forever a high priest after the orders of Melchizedek. His orders from God is to be faithful to you. To receive your tithe and bless you. To speak by the Holy Ghost and show you everything that God has. Bring you to that same place where you walk in the wisdom and the likeness of God in this sick and dying world that's dying around us because it doesn't know what to do next.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the answers are there all the time. And we're part of it. We are not part of the problem. Well, all of this is just, you know, just lightning flashing through my spirit. And suddenly, I heard this. I heard the word of the Lord. I heard it inside of me. I didn't hear an audible voice. If you'd have been there, you wouldn't have heard it. But I heard it. Brother Copeland, did you really hear it? I heard it from my hair down. You understand? Don't pay attention or make any plans based on what the media says or what the politicians say. Stand on my word in John 16. That's what we just read. Pay attention to me. I, the Holy Spirit, will obey verses 13 through 15. Whoa! What did he say? I will obey what I hear, I will speak. I'll show you things to come. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying he will obey it. All we have to do is release our faith. He will obey it. I will show you things to come. I will lead you through troubled times. I already have the plan for you, and it's very good. Follow it. It will not only get you through, it will place you in a very high place, a rich place, a strong place of victory. You'll have to discipline yourself and be diligent to listen to me. All the other voices will have a plan, a word, an idea for your future and security. Don't listen to Babylon's system. It has fallen apart. My system is stronger than ever. My kingdom is flourishing. And the blessing is the place to be. Keep your eyes on my word. Listen to it. It will guide you. I will perform it. Love me. Love my people as I have loved you. Walk in it. Love never fails, and neither does my plan. Boy, I mean, that's shouting ground right there. Be very cautious to stay completely clean from covetousness. Now, why would he talk about that right in the middle of an economic disastrous atmosphere? Because that didn't impress him a bit. His plan, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he had no sorrow to it. His plan's not based on Wall Street, what they do or what they don't do. Hallelujah. Amen. Be very cautious to stay clean from covetousness. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, and some having coveted after. So the love of money and coveting is the same thing. Having, not having money, that's not what it said. It said the love of money. There are people who commit that sin and don't have anything. See, it's becoming love of things and money conscious. The fear of losing it is the same thing. When you begin to make plans based on your money and economy, better watch it. Things and the desire for them are causing you to make your plans. A lot of people, nearly everybody in this nation went to the polls voting based on their fear of economic disaster.
Amen.
Now, I don't care who you voted for, one way or the other, if that was your motivation, it'll pierce you through. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
Amen.
Well, I just don't think, it don't make any difference what you think or what I think. If you will do these things, 1 Timothy 6:10, must live in the forefront of your thinking. If you will do these things and continue therein, you will come into your wealthy place. A place lifted up. A place in me already planned and prepared for you now. Here, not heaven, not yet, but it'll seem like heaven right in the midst of all the trouble. And you'll be able to reach out to untold numbers of suffering people with the good news of the gospel. I'm coming very soon, sooner than you think. Keep your eyes on me, and you will get the job done. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he made a statement in there about the Babylonian system. Let's talk about that. You need to know what's going on and why. You're not going to find it in a civics class because they don't know. And most church teaching doesn't have a clue. In fact, we're going to look at something in here, right in the Bible in a moment. And when we do, it's going to be one of those, you know, those kind of moments. I've been reading that since I was six. I didn't know it said. That's the way it did me. Or you're sitting there, and it's that moment when you say, "Oh," and you turn around. Did you see that? Ooh, yeah. He said, "What? I didn't see nothing." Well, this is time for revelation of what's happening around us. When you have revelation of it and you know, think about this. Let's take the subject of faith, for instance. We'll just talk about that. You can talk about any Bible subject in the same framework, but think about faith. If you know what faith is and you know where it comes from and you know what feeds it and you know how to release it. Now, you may not have much of it yet, but you've arrived at some place. Now you know how to develop in it. If you know where it comes from, you know what it is, and you know how to feed it, and you know how to release it, all you got to do is go to work. Amen. Amen. It's the guy that's saying, I just don't know. Oh, we just don't know. No, you just never know what God's going to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Brother Copeland, you know, God moves in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
Bull.
Amen.
Brother Copeland, isn't that scripture? I knew you thought that, but it didn't. The bull part comes closer to being scripture than that. Take the time sometime to get over in the New Testament. That's like that woman quoted her favorite scripture to Brother Hagin and said, every tub got to set on its own bottom. She just knew that was in the Bible somewhere. And if it wasn't, it ought to be. That's kind of the way. Let somebody say, well, you know, Grandma taught it and we bought it and that's just the way it is. No, no, no. Get in the New Testament and you'll be shocked at how many times the Word says, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. We have full understanding of the knowledge and the will of God. Glory. It's there. It's available. The problem is just religiously allowing your thinking and patterns to follow and just drift off out into that religious assumption world. Well, you just knew the Word said that. Well, I just knew, Brother Tom, that the Bible said that. Yeah, but it didn't. Now, what you need to find out is what did the Bible say. And don't let your pastor and me find all your scriptures for you. Get in there and hunt them yourself. Praise God. God will reveal things to you just same as He will to me. But you do have to study to show yourself approved. Amen. And some of you, in the moment I said that, yeah, I turned you off right there. No. Now, God moves in mysterious ways. It's only mysterious to those that have no spiritual understanding. But it has been given unto us to know the mysteries of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's good news. Been revealed to us by His Spirit. Now, let's look in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans. We're going to read quite a number of scriptures tonight because I want you to work from a solid foundation in where we're going with this. Romans chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is writing concerning faith. The 16th verse, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now you remember in Galatians 3, and if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise?
Yeah.
Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him, or the cross reference says, like him, or like unto him whom he believed, even God. The only thing whose name was changed to Abraham, the only thing Abraham knew about faith, he learned from God. Now, he was not the first in line of those that trusted God. But God entered a blood covenant with him and taught him faith. And so, like God, whom he believed, who quickeneth the dead, who makes alive dead things, and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now that said, God does that. Amen. Does he ever change? Does he have to upgrade? Does he have to go back and say, well, I believe we can do better than that? No, he's right the first time. Amen. So if he ever called things that be not as though they were, he still does. Now, did Abraham get into trouble because he imitated God and acted like him, and he called things that be not as though they were? No, as the Bible said, he brought glory to God doing that. Said it right here in this fourth chapter of Romans. Now, let's lay that as a plank on this platform that we're building here in order to be able to clearly see into something and understand some things about why it is like it is. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 1. This is very familiar scripture, but read it very carefully with me. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul was referring to. God calling things that be not as though they were. Not as though they are. As though they were. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Nothing. Without him, there would be nothing. There's not anything that happened outside him and came into existence. You understand that?
Yeah.
Now, you have to know this. God did this in the Hebrew language. It is the creation language. This is very important. If you plug this in someplace, if you have to write it down someplace, do it. Understand this fact, and we're going to see this again in a moment. Now, the Hebrew word for thing, anything, nothing, all things, natural things, material substance, material things. The Hebrew word for thing is word.
Amen.
Now, if you don't speak Hebrew, your mind has to work on that a little bit. Because it comes to, since it's two totally different words in our thinking. But yet, understand, in Hebrew, thing and word are the same thing.
Amen.
No thing was made, all things were made by Him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by words. I'm going to keep poking at you till I get something excited, except a blank stare on your face. Because we're working this information. It has to be introduced to your mind. But as we work under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you and I both, He'll pull it up out of your spirit. And that's when you see things. It's important. Stay with me. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, we know God is love. The Scripture says God is light. What is the energy, the central energy substance in all things? Science has finally caught up with the first chapter in the book of the Bible. Light energy is in all things. Glory. Let there be light. There was light. Sunshine didn't happen for four more days. So what was that light? Light energy was released. His glory. What was it? Words. I thought it was things. It was. Amen. The entrance of His Word bringeth light. That's not just insight. The entrance of His Word brings light energy. That's what the anointing is.
Amen.
That ought to be enough right there to make you glad you came tonight. Now, God is love. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with love. And the Word was love. All things were made by love. And without love was not anything made. Is there a concept beginning to develop in your spirit concerning God that you begin to realize that He is the all in all? Amen. He doesn't have love. He is love. Amen. This was love's desire. Things came out of love.
Amen.
Things were never to be the object of greed. Things are not for the getting. Things are for the giving.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
You don't ever use people to get things. You use things to bless and love people.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Now, whew, glory. Love spoke, faith filled words. That created all things. The word is the mold, if I can put it like that. I want you to get a concept of what I'm saying. We don't think in letters and words. We think in pictures. And those pictures become the base for the way we think. Well, when God created for instance, the animals and this planet, the earth, before the foundation of the world, he already had it all done. Had it all planned, knew exactly what it all was. For instance, if I say dog, you don't think D-O-G. But just by saying dog, you can think of anything you want to think. But if I say black dog, big black curly dog, big black curly dog with white spots. But I mean, the picture's changing all the time. Big, ugly, mean. Spotted old hound. I mean, I don't care. See, the more description you make, what happens? You haven't spelled any of this. Pictures, images are changing. God took those images and released the image word filled with creative faith, and it was. Hallelujah. But when he created the man, he was the image. It was not an inner blueprint of some kind. He was the image. The image of man was himself. Created him exactly like him. Not kind of like him. In his image. All of the same characteristics. All of the same abilities. Only one difference between man and God. God was first, and man needed him. Amen. God said, and he saw. God said, and then he saw it. And this is important. Get this. God said, light be, light was.
Amen.
God said, and he saw that it was good. But he didn't see until after he said. He didn't see and then say. You understand? That ain't the way it works. Now, there's not two or three different systems of this. There's only one.
Amen.
It's his, and it was right the first time. He don't need to change. Now, love spoke faith-filled words to create all things. Now, we know it was faith-filled words because of the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, talking about faith. That whole chapter is about faith. Starting off with God's faith, and then the faith of Abraham, and you come right, right on down through. It's the Hall of Fame of faith. Praise God. Well, through faith, it says, through faith we understand that God... Don't look at me like... Turn to Hebrews chapter. Amen. You need to put your eyes on this. Now I'm going to do my best not to get in a hurry. I've already preached this to me, and it's good where we're going, and I'm anxious to get there, but I might slow down here and be still where you can go with me. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance. Say substance.
Substance.
Faith is the substance of things. Now what? Where do things come from?
Yeah.
Faith is the substance of words.
Yeah.
And words are things, and things were words before they were things, which are words that were things. And faith is the substance of them. Faith is the substance. the evidence of things not yet seen. Now, I like what the Amplified Translation says there, that amplifies that statement, that if you were reading from this text that this was translated from, this is what you would hear with your ear. That faith is the substance of things not yet revealed to the physical senses. It is the evidence of those things. It is the substance of words becoming things. So the thing substance was there before you could see it. So then that explains then, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, this phrase has a double reference here. And it was translated in English, leaning towards our faith. But now listen to it again. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Not just that by faith we understand it. That's not what he's saying here. That's part of it. You have to have faith to understand it. But he's saying, we understand that by faith God framed everything we see. Because he just got through saying, faith is the substance of things. So everything that is material, the creative substance was faith in words. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Same as in the beginning with God. All things were created by Him. There's another scripture that said all things were created for and by Him. So, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And I have heard, I've heard people say, well, God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Where did you get that? That ain't what that said. Well, yeah, see, Brother Copeland said, so that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. Well, that didn't say it was made out of nothing.
That's right.
It said it was made out of something you can't see. The substance was faith, which is a spiritual force. Before it was transformed by that spiritual substance into a material substance that you could see. It began in the Spirit as the faith substance of God, the very creativeness of God. That word filled with it, you filled the mold with faith and... Wham! There he is, man. Praise God. It's like having a mold and you pour the substance in it, and then after it sits up, you remove the mold and there the thing is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, that things which are seen were not made of things which you can see by faith, and so forth and so on and so on down. Now, so... God spoke faith-filled words. All right, now, let's deal with the word God for a moment. In the first place, it's not a Bible word. It was a translation word that was added years and years and years later. Came out of the German language, Gott. And it translates many different words as God. the word God in Hebrew, it's not there. The different names of God were translated God. And if you were reading his own book in that creative language, it was the only language there was until Babel. Now, this was the only system anybody knew anything about until Babel. So, the different aspects of God, the different ways of God, and all of these ways of calling Him, the different names of God. Actually, He has one name. And all of those others are, He is God our healer. He is God the banner over us is love. He is God our righteousness. He is God all these different things. But if you notice, all of those things are anointings. Amen. Hallelujah. He is God that heals.
Yeah.
Amen. Did you ever notice that the Jewish people, God bless them, did you ever notice that they pattern after him? And the rest of us are not like this, but God and the Jews are. God, the healer. God, the Savior. God, our righteousness. And sometime you will meet Mr. Goldstein, the lawyer.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that? There, many times. If you know anything about the Jewish community, yeah, their calling in life and what they do is part of their name. Yeah. Martin Schwartz, the printer. Have you met my son, the doctor? It's marvelous. Amen. It's one of the reasons they're successful. They advertise all the time.
Yeah.
It's just so outstanding. I really do like that. You know, I enjoy it. But that's the way with God. And it's the way of the creative language. It's the way of the Hebrew language. Now, words of faith. Ah, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Let's go back over to the book of Genesis now. Right there in the very first chapter. One of the most difficult words in the Bible to translate is the word be, B-E. And in an attempt to translate it, the English writers, particularly in the King James or the Authorized Version, use the word let us. And it, without knowing what they were trying to do, the words let us really throw it off. It doesn't. Actually, God said, light be. Light was. It is the force. Be is. And if you follow it, sometimes just get you a real good concordance and look up the word be, B-E, and just follow it through the Bible. You will get the shock of your life when you get out there. You thought it was just the little word be, and wow. made whole. What does the word amen mean? So what? So what? So be it. It what? It what we prayed. That's what. Hallelujah. It's a powerful thing. If we had time, but we could spend all the next week doing that because it is so powerful. But this is introduced to us right here now in God using His words. Work with your in your own consciousness now in words, things, material objects coming into being that God, they didn't have to become matter before God could see it. It would have to become matter before we could see it.
Right.
It didn't have to become matter before Adam could see it. And we are in a place right now where it shouldn't have to become matter for you and me to see it. Because we have spiritual eyes. We have faith eyes by which we see. And natural eyes by which we see. And we should be seeing both worlds all the time. Now, come down. God said, man, be in our image, after our likeness. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, all the earth, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in His own image, and the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. He had already molded or formed the body of man out of the earth which He created. Now, listen carefully. He created the earth from words. He formed the man's body with His hands out of the earth which He created with words. Amen. So we're not just dirt. Amen. Now, when He did that, the man, he created this earth, then He molded the body, but the body had no life in it. When He said these words, man became. Now you didn't get it. I'll go over here and talk to this side. Man became a living being. A living being. Now, what? Put all that together. What does that actually mean? It means the word became man, became word. They're the same. He became a living being. He beed. The commentary of the sages in the Chumash, which goes back to the old sages and their commentary on the Torah, and talking about man becoming, man became a living being. And their comment was this, And man became a living, speaking spirit like God. He could speak. He could call things that be not be. He could call things that be not be. And it is. See the connection? Like God, Abraham, who calls things that be not be, and they are. Why? Because in him they were.
Amen.
And man has exactly the same capacity. Abraham proved it. Abraham was not a born-again man. How much more powerful should you be with the living God Almighty on the inside of you to give you your tongue back?
Hallelujah.
Huh? Absolutely. Glory. Now, when God said, man be in our image after our likeness, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over all the earth and every creeping thing upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In his own image created he them. He didn't hear any of that. Those were the word images of dominion that formed this man's very inner nature and being. His innermost being. The thing he be on the inside. He was formed from words of dominion. That's the reason men are dominion hearted and minded today. The only thing God did not give them dominion over is other people. Amen. And that's really where men want to dominate is other people. Now then, the next thing God said must be the most important thing for the human being. This has to do with our being. Be fruitful. He blessed them. The word blessed there in verse 28 is Hebrew declare. Now, other times you'll find the Hebrew words that mean to empower. But this is the first time he said it. This was a declaration. In other words, this is what you are, Bubba. This is you, man. And now he's hearing this. He just came into being, but now he's hearing it. And he declared them fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth and have dominion over it and over every living thing. How? With the same process. There were not two, three processes. There was only one. Faith, which is the substance of things said by the being, which had the command authority to speak. To what? Birds, bugs, fish, water, air, grass, trees. Whatever it took to make this creation flourish and grow and prosper. Amen. Now, he had this same authority about him. So, we know what happened to him. He didn't carry through with it. He blew that blessing off. Well, now, the blessing of God the blessing was the control authority of all life in the earth. And everything that this creation of God, all the life that it would ever support, would be perpetual in that blessing. Now we know that the blessing of Abraham is the Eden blessing from the 51st chapter of Isaiah. Would you turn there, please? The power of the blessing is to produce the Garden of Eden and expand it. The Bible says, we won't take time to look at this, but you can later. You can look at it right there in the second, third chapters of the book of Genesis. It said before there was anything growing in the earth, God took seed and planted it, and He made it grow. Then He created man and put him in the garden east of Eden. Well, how did He make it grow? How did God make that garden grow? He didn't just speak and there was a garden. No. The Bible said He took seed and planted it in the earth and made it grow. He grew that garden and put the man in it. Now, why did He do that? Because all of the future of this creation was based on seed time and harvest. And so everything that we know in the form of seed and herbs and plants didn't originate here. The first ones came from heaven. Why was there gold there? Did you ever stop and think about that? No, you didn't. I didn't either for a long time. I was just glad there was. The Garden of Eden, in God's eyes, in God's mind, in God's thinking, and in His planning, the Garden of Eden was to be actually the worst condition man would ever experience. Because what He created has never entered into the heart or the mind or the eye or the ear what God has in store for those that love Him.
Amen.
No man has ever conceived it. It was so He's able to do abundantly, exceedingly beyond all we can ask or He intended for the blessing that He released to perpetuate this thing and for man to walk in that blessing and for him to listen to God and God guide him and direct him and raise him up to speak that garden and grow the family and grow the garden until this planet became the garden spot of the universe instead of just that little spot around Iraq, where Iraq is now. We can look up the geographical boundaries of it in the Bible. You can read the text of where it actually was. It was not the whole planet. We know that because when Adam had to get out of that garden, it is tough sledding out there, brother. You know why? No blessing on it.
That's right.
There was blessing on the ground he was used to, and he was supposed to go out and bless that other ground exactly like God, with exactly the same plants and exactly the same thing, to where this actually should have been the worst environment man would ever have to experience. It's just going to get better from there on until he blew it, messed it up. And we're still trying to get back to it. And if we only knew, He's already gotten us back to it. Christ made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. through Christ Jesus. And the blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and he had no sorrow to it. Hallelujah. And the blessing has never been changed. It still has the same job, the same assignment, when it is released in faith-filled words to produce and further the Garden of Eden. Well, now the first thing it has to do is get the curse out before the garden can be manifested. But that's been taken care of too. So, the blessing is the Eden system, the Eden covenant. Isaiah chapter 51. Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. Now, don't you remember in the third chapter of the book of Galatians, it says that those that are of faith are blessed with Father Abraham, and that, as I quoted earlier tonight, and if you be Christ, or if you are in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise of Abraham's blessing was the Eden promise. And I'm going to prove it to you. It's exactly the same words that God said over Adam. Unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hallelujah. That's the same blessing he declared over Adam in the very beginning. And God never changes. So why was there gold in the garden lying on top of the ground? Because had this man just continued to produce and grow for a while, he would have, under God's teaching, built a city. And this is street material.
Amen.
Yeah, it's on top of the ground. He didn't have to mine it. It's building material. Jesse thinks it was in order to make jewelry. I'm gonna have to talk to him. No, I found out Jesse's going to think about whatever he wants to. There ain't nothing I can do about it. Oh, everybody loves Jesse. Bless his heart. Amen. Now, whoo, glory. Are you ready for this? What we've just outlined here was the only system on earth. Nobody knew anything else. The flood came. And you go over to Genesis chapter 9. God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Exactly the same words. Now, God don't change words, because that's what he does. That's what he released. He is releasing the power of the creative faith and blessing of God. If you just do what I tell you to do, we'll get this Eden thing going. That was his original plan, and he don't never deviate. Yes, sir, I will. Hold your place there. And come back over to the book of Luke and the book of Acts. chapter 3 in the book of Acts and the last chapter of the book of Luke. Acts chapter 3, verse 25. Peter is preaching. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in your seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's why he came. Now, the last chapter of the book of Luke. Well, Brother Copeland, I thought Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He did. That's part of the blessing. I thought he came to heal. He did. Healing is part of the blessing. Amen. The very end of that 24th chapter of Luke, verse 50. He led them out as far as unto Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. The last words he spoke on this earth was the blessing. He said, I never say anything but what my Father has already said it. I never do anything but what I see my Father do. And the last word he said was be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth. And that is a whole lot like going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
And the power of it, while he was blessing them, the power of it caught him up and took him into heaven. His words were still coming out his mouth when he came into heaven. And he is the command authority of both heaven and earth. That's why he's called the last Adam. This Adam is not going to goof this thing off. We can depend on him. The immortal man. My Lord in heaven. There's a man in the Godhead representing us. We're the blessed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh. All right. Here in Genesis 9, God blessed Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, that's all there is. That's it. Noah and his sons. Blessed. Same blessing. Ham and Japheth did the same thing Adam did. But Shem didn't. He stayed with it. Shem was Abraham's great, great, great something or other great, great grandfather. These folks live a long time, you understand? Shem was the founder of the school of the prophets in Jerusalem, then called Salem. He was also the Lord Mayor, or translated into older English, King. Today we would call him the Lord Mayor or Governor of the city of Jerusalem. That title was Melchizedek. And it was Shem that came to Abram with the bread and the wine and blessed him when he received his tithe and passed the blessing of Noah and Adam over to Abram. Hallelujah. God preached the gospel to Abraham saying, in you, this is the gospel now. Galatians 3 said, he preached the gospel to Abraham saying, in you shall all nations be blessed.
Amen.
Well, in God's eyes, that's only three people. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You've got to be kin to one of them. And in this country, we kin to all of them, brother. I mean, you know, yeah. Amen. Oh, yeah. I know I am one way or the other. But now you can see what Jesus did. He was made a curse for us so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the nations. Get them other two back. They were blessed. But now what happened with them? This is where we've been going all evening. And this is where we're going to lay. This is the platform that we will be on in this meeting. Look with me, if you will, in the 11th chapter. Now, these are the descendants of Ham and Japheth. Shem stayed with it. He walked in it. Ham and Japheth did not. The whole earth was of one language. And the cross-reference says one speech. The Hebrew word there is not the word for tongue. It's actually not the word for language. It's the word for lip. Don't give me no lip. Your way of talking. Now, I told you, you're going to get a hold of something tonight. You're going to think, oh, man. And of one speech, it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now remember, be fruitful, multiply. Fill up the whole earth. Replenish, that's what the word translated replenish means. Fill up the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over it. And they said one to another, go to, let us. Now, does that sound like let there be light? Yeah, it does. Let us. And God said, let there. They're using his system. There wasn't any other system known to man. Except, imagine it, believe it, and speak it, be. And it will. That's all they knew. There never had been anything else introduced. That's it. That was how man was created. That's the way God taught him to create. Actually, that's what Satan tried to do. He don't know there's any other way. There wasn't any other way. God is the only thing they had to go by. Are you listening to me? What did the devil do? And he said, I will make my throne. I will. What's he doing? He's speaking it.
Yeah.
But much to his surprise, instead of causing it to come to pass, he cursed himself with it.
Yeah.
And the scripture said he lost his anointing. What anointing? The anointing to speak. Amen. And declare. See, anything that could speak, that God was, that's the way God didn't do it one way Monday and two ways next week or something.
Amen.
He never changes. And that's all anything being angel whatever. That's all they ever knew. There was no other idea. Now, you got that, or do we need to spend a little more time here? That's all they understood. That's imagine it, believe it, say it, and it'll come to pass.
Amen.
Be, and it will.
Yeah.
That's just the way we do things. I mean, that's just the way, I don't know. No, there ain't no two thoughts. There's only one. Any other idea had never been introduced to anybody or anything. All the things, that's where they came from. All the way of doing anything, that was it. Imagine it, believe it, and say it, and it is. Some of you look at me like, where did he get that? I have this book in my possession. And I pray a lot. Now, because you can pretty well see where I'm going with this, but you need to see it in the Scripture, because if it ain't in the Scripture, forget it. They said one to another, go to, let us make brick. We're going to create brick. And burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to. They're creating with their mouths. And you'll see it, and it says, we'll build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Well, certainly, dimwit, you're going to be scattered abroad. That's what the blessing does. This is where they departed. They don't need God. They don't need to create rock. They'll make rock. We will build, and we will make us a name. But now you see how they're doing it? Watch. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had built. Unless the Lord build a house, they that build it in vain. It didn't say if the Lord don't build it, it won't get built. It said if they build it without God, it's vain. What is vain? All that work for nothing. Why? Because the house is going to fall.
Amen.
And the Lord said, look, the people is one. They have all one lip. They have all one language. They have one way of doing things. They don't know any other way. And as they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now, somebody got the Amplified Translation right here close? All right, verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. And they're doing it without the blessing. Thank you. Huh?
Yeah. Thank you,
Jesus. Let's go down and confound their language. Now, get away from the idea of natural languages. Natural languages were born out of that. But, I mean, even if it was a different language, I mean, what hold up is there to a language? You can learn how to communicate in a year or two or so. That's not the problem. What was the problem? Get them off that Hebrew language in the first place. That's the creative language. The second thing is, there must be a stop or a cap to their imagination. Their ability to imagine it, believe it, and say it, and it come to pass. The confusion was in the imagination and in faith in words. How many of you have been walking by faith for some time now? Let me see your hand. I mean, you've been studying, walking in faith. This is your way of life. If you're anything like me, one of the most difficult things to get over to you thinking was the fact that my words do something.
Yeah.
I mean, how could that mean anything? Now, where did that come from? God was not naming a city when he said Babel. No. Now, think about it a minute. This is the way he does things. Babel means confusion. He just said it. He went down there and said it. Why did he go down there and say it? If he had spoken it from heaven, he didn't have the authority to do that. What? No. Adam had the authority, and he gave it to Satan. God had covenant with Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It was the rainbow covenant. He had covenant with those people. He couldn't just say that. He had to come there and say it. And it was not to curse and confound the earth. It was to confound that system of trying to meet your needs without God. Trying to be your own God. Having a better idea. That's the reason it's called the Babylonian system. It is the system of confusion. All God said was, "Confused be." And all of a sudden, they couldn't communicate their ideas. The imagination had a cap on it. Now think about the confused system. And I'll give this to you. This system of confusion is a disconnection from the Eden system. A disconnection from the faith system and a connection to the curse system. And it is a system of confusion today. And that's what's happening around us. Don't pay attention to God. Anybody that has ever read the Bible once knows you don't loan money to a poor man. And if you really want to rile God up, you mistreat the poor. Boy, he don't like that, and neither do I. Now, the word says the borrower is servant to the lender. And you take a poor man and you put him in a piece of a property that, and you fix it where you know good and well he can't pay for it. You've not helped him one lick. You've got him in a place where he's now in more bondage than he was before he got to pay.
That's right. That's right.
Because he's become servant of the lender. Then nowhere in the Bible it says loan a poor family, a poor man, anything. God says, if you give to him, you lend to me. I'll repay it.
That's right. Yeah.
But you don't loan to him.
Amen.
Amen. But that's the difference between Babylon and God's way of doing it. Eden, the Eden system. Now you've got the confusion system, the system of darkness. Man trying to meet his own needs without God.
Amen.
He can't figure it out. And God spoke against that system. And he just said, confusion be. Their tower, their city, their name could only get so high or so big or so great and then fall. And it's been doing that ever since. Why? The bigger it gets, people get to where they don't know what to do.
Yes.
Well, let's do this. Well, that didn't work, did it? Oh, what are we going to do? Let's try this.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't going to work. Now, here's what I want you to see about the system. God never changed the laws at all. They are always the same. Never has changed. Why? Because he don't change. Jesus has all authority both in heaven and in earth. And he is exactly like God. But now listen, what does the confusion system say? We don't know what to do. They're still bringing it to pass. And they believe it with all of their hearts. We're failing. We don't know what to do. We're all going to die. We can't do that. Why, that's impossible. Well, all things are possible to him that believeth. Ah, that's that Bible stuff. I don't believe that.
Are you coming in here and telling me that you can have what you say?
Yeah, that's what Jesus said. Have faith in God. For whosoever. Who? Whosoever. Can have whatsoever he saith. Well, whosoever and whatsoever, I mean, I don't see any limit to that, do you? Ah, I tried that. That saying stuff don't work for me. It just did. He's confused.
Amen.
Now, introduced into the human man, not the God man, the human man, is a cap on his imagination. Confusion. And little by little, that system out there is functioning all over the world. And it can only get so big. And it gets bloated. And oh, no. Oh, if we don't do something, this thing's going to fall. Oh, it's going to fall. Oh, it's going to fall. Oh, we're going to have the big one, brother. Oh, yeah. It ain't if. It's when.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, that's brilliant, ain't it?
Yeah.
You can have earthquakes. You can have hurricanes. You can have whatever you want. Just keep saying it, buddy. You'll get it. But you'll be the first one to say that saying stuff don't mean nothing. The system's tearing itself apart. And without God, you have no source for words. And the toughest thing about teaching faith is to get it over to people when they come out from under that Babylonian confusion, to get it over to people that their words are things coming to pass. And they've been having what they said all the time. Now, the other part of that confusion is this. Well, it's like the guy said, you know, I'm losing money on every deal, Brother Tom. If I wasn't making so many deals, I'd go broke. Yeah. Something's going to happen one day. Yeah. I'm going to get lucky. Yeah. In other words, I can keep doing the same thing, and one of these days I'll get different results.
Yeah, right.
If that's not confusion,
that's right.
We just don't need to look anywhere else. That is confusion. What is it? It is a scrambled imagination. The ability to imagine the God-given life of the imagination of the God-man, where he thought like God, and he didn't have any doubt of what he said would come to pass. But then he got tied up in that system, and you and I particularly did, because we were kin to Ham and Japheth. And so we got out there in that system, and that's what we learned, and that's where we came up. And it's taken a while to get over here on the Eden system and begin to realize that the sower sows the word, that the word is God. God is the word, and the sower sows the word. The word is the seed sown.
Yes.
And about 25%. Of the kingdom of God actually get it. They're the ones that produce some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. The rest of them, through the deceitfulness of riches, didn't say riches, it said the deceitfulness of it. Well, how are riches deceitful? Well, money will con you. Money will deceive you. And you deceive yourself, James said in his book, when you get into bitterness and strife, you deceive your own spirit. For where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So what must we do? We just simply make the firm decision that God meant what he said, and he said exactly what he meant, and he has never changed, and his desire and design to get this blessing back on his people has never changed. And the blessing of Abraham is ours when we make Jesus the Lord of our life. But now we're going to have to find out how the kingdom thinks and how God thinks and how he talks, and not speak until we're qualified. James was raised in the house with Jesus. He was Jesus' half-brother. He was raised in that household. And he's the one that taught a whole chapter on the power of the tongue. He said, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body.
Yeah.
But he said the tongue, the little member, the kindling of the fire, actually sets on fire. The King James says the course of nature. In the Greek text, it's wheel. W-H-E-E-L. The course. The wheel of nature. When you speak it, the wheel starts rolling. You put it into motion. Can you see it? The kindling. You don't take a match and light it to a log. No, no. You start off with kindling. When we was kids, we used to hunt kindling. You find an old pine stump. It got some good kindling, man. You put that, you know, in a jar and tap it off good. And wherever you was camping or you hunting or whatever, man, you got a ready-made fire right there. Just get one of them little old sticks. It's just like soaking it in gasoline, that pine sap-made kindling, man. And thing would burn hot. And you could start a fire with that. Well, now somebody come up there and said, "My goodness, what started that huge fire?" I don't know. It's underneath there somewhere.
Yeah.
You can't find that little old piece of stick that started this. It got consumed, but it started it in motion.
Yeah.
And that's what James is talking about. He said, your tongue starts natural fires of hell in motion. You said it, and by fear you believed it. See, fear is a form of faith. Fear is a release of faith in something's ability to hurt, damage, destroy, or steal from you. Amen. Mainly your life. Fear of an animal is faith in that animal's ability to do you harm.
Amen.
It was originally Adam's faith. And after he was suddenly separated from God and connected to Satan, a dead spirit, he's connected to him. God spoke and he feared.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The day before, God spoke, and faith came up in him. Today, God spoke, and the same reaction happened, but it was no longer faith. Now, it's twisted exactly in the opposite direction. It is now fear, and he ran from him instead of to him.
Amen.
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 So, you say it by fear. It'll come to pass. And the very thing, Job said, that I greatly fear has come upon me.
Yeah.
Well, go back and study why. He kept saying the same thing over and over and over again. My kids are going to curse God. My kids are going to curse God. My kids are going to curse God. And his wife tried to get him to do it. Why don't you curse God and die? Well, his kids cursed God and died. He just kept saying it. He said, I couldn't sleep. I was disturbed. And yet trouble came.
Yeah.
Well, come on, man.
Yeah.
See, he thought he was being a responsible parent by staying up all night worrying about his kids. And he got them killed.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, folks, I'm telling you, somebody said, boy, that's kind of ugly on Mr. Job. And I ain't going to lie to you just because you don't like the way it sounds. He got his kids killed. And the same thing is happening today.
Amen.
Scared, worried parents walking the floor. My God. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, God. My babies are out there on the street. Oh, God. Help us. Don't you understand? Oh, God. My babies are probably on dope. Oh, they're going to die. They're going to die. Oh, deliver me from parents like that. That is not faith.
Yeah.
Wow, Brother Copeland, I mean, isn't that just being a little picky? You better get picky.
Amen.
Yeah.
You get picky when you're in training. Yes, we're picky. We're picky at words and picky at thoughts and ideas. That being picky about things is what wake you up and give you situational awareness of what's going on around you. Otherwise, you yep, yep, yep all day long, never hear a thing you say. People do it all the time. When I got born again, Man, I had the worst mouth anybody you ever heard in your life. I mean, I loved to cuss. My grandfather was a champion blasphemer. And I thought he was the greatest thing I'd ever met. Well, I wanted to be just like him. I started when I was 9 years old. Man, I cussed everything in sight. And I always thought up to then, from what my mama always told me, just whipped the daylights out of me. If I would even think about saying something like that. And I thought if I was to, I'd probably die right where I was standing. I wasn't but nine. And I decided, well, I don't know. Don't much think I will. But I'll try it. If I die, I die. And I started in. Well, I mean, by the time I met Gloria, bless her heart, she had to put up with that. And, I mean, my mouth was terrible. And she'd jump on me. I am never going out in public with you again. Why? Your terrible mouth. I said, what do you mean, my terrible mouth? She said, the way you talk. I said, well, what the hell did I say?
Yeah.
I didn't know I said it then. She said, see what I mean? What? That's the Babylonian system, because Jesus said, by your words are you justified, and by your words are you condemned. In other words, you are judged by the words that come out of your mouth. What you say is what you get. And when you judge other people and say, they shouldn't have done that, now you become the judge of your own life. And what you judge them for, you will have the opportunity, and you better hold up to everything you held them up to.
Yeah.
And every idle word that comes out of your mouth, you'll stand judgment for it. But the Babylonian system, talk all day and never hear anything you say. Because your spirit is dead and your mind is disconnected from it. And it's just stuff comes out of your mouth all the time. And it's nothing. But it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. Ah, but when you get born again, yeah. Old things pass away.
Yes.
And behold, all things become new. Oh, glory be to God. And all things are of God. And out of the good treasure of a good man's heart, good things come to pass. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the Eden system. When you get born again. Amen. Instead of walking in the curse, you've been delivered.
Yes.
One more scripture. Turn to the book of Colossians. Oh, hallelujah. We got a good start going tonight. Oh, we got some marvelous things to look at in this area. They said, this plain is where we're going to be. We'll build us a city. And we'll build us a name. But if you just read just a little bit further, when God came to Abram, He said, I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And you'll be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you. And those that try to stop you, I'll stop them. King James used the word curse. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're blessed.
Amen.
We're blessed.
Amen.
Oh, glory be to God. And do we have a great name or what?
Yeah.
We've been named after Him. Blessed. be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I ain't answering the poor boy no more. Hallelujah. You've caught on enough of it now. See, Babylon still talks the way, it's the same way. They can't help it. It's just their way of speaking. That's all they know. This is their system. They don't know their words are coming to pass, but they are. But now listen to how they say it. They said even back there that many, 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 many years ago, we will make us a name. We will make us a city. We will make us a tower. Didn't they? Well, have you ever heard anybody say, somebody got to make a living?
Yeah.
I make deals.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I am a self-made man. Really? See, that system still talks the same way as its founder. Thousands of years ago, we will make, oh yeah, I make a living. I make deals. I make my way in the world. I'm a self-made man. Oh, I'll tell you. Blah, 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 blah. On and on and on. And I'm not... You know, I'm not just talking about the way the world talks. You can hear this out on the front step of the church. Yeah. I've had them say it to me. Well, Brother Copeland, I mean, dear Lord, somebody got to make a living. Oh, what verse is that?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you right now. The scripture says he that don't provide for his own is worse than an infidel. And that's probably the only verse you know. That whole chapter was talking about widows.
Huh?
Yeah. The man that doesn't provide for his own widows in his family is worse than an infidel. If he turns them over to the church for the church to take care of, he needs to be taking care of his own family. I'm talking about what he works for a living. They ain't no working for a living in there since Adam was delivered from the curse of the ground. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh. It maketh. Woo, glory. I can't talk about it without getting excited. I've been living in it for 40 years. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. And it doeth wonderful things. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The Gentiles, Jesus said, after all these things the Gentiles seek. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteous way of doing things, and all these things shall be added unto you. Ta-da. Amen. Have you found the book of Colossians yet? Good. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Who told you that God moves in mysterious ways and his ways past finding out? That's to the people that ain't looking. What did he just say? All wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I dare you to read it out loud. have we heard this? Glory to God. What is His will? What is all spiritual understanding? That you be fruitful and you multiply and you fill up the earth. You subdue it and have dominion over it in the name of Jesus. Whoa, that's walking worthy of the Lord. Whoa, glory to God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us.
Yeah.
He made Him a name. He made us able. M-E-E-T means able. A-B-L-E. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power and authority of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. The moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life, the blessing was declared on you. Heaven said, that's ours. We'll keep them. It was released in your behalf. God made way for the Holy Ghost Himself to come dwell within you so He can be the bridge between what God has that belongs to Jesus, and now He can transfer it to you on the spot, on the moment, and keep you ahead all the time. And all you have to do is learn how to talk and imagine.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
Develop it and walk in it and say it and think it and say it and say it and think it until you don't have to think it to say it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. That is making all grace abound toward you. That you always having all sufficiency in all things, that you may be generous unto every good work. Hallelujah. The Babylonian system thinks it has to be rich to be blessed. No. We're not blessed because we're rich. We're rich because we're blessed. Yeah, you've been rich all the time. You're just now finding the key to the door.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to have to stand up and give the Lord praise, because I don't have any quitting sense tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord forevermore. We have a job to do in this earth. Amen. And while the world is scuffling over politics and arguing back and forth because they don't know what to do, and we can have something to say, and most of the time they won't listen. But we still can exercise the righteous, fervent prayers that cause systems to quake and shake, and God's will and purpose to come to pass in this earth. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. We don't shirk our duty, and we don't run from it. Praise God. I'm neither a Democrat nor a Republican. I go to the platform. It's called a platform because it's what this somebody's standing on. And they're asking me to come stand with them. Well, I want to know what they're standing on before I go stand on it. Amen. I don't want to stand on something I get up there and it fall down. Right. So it doesn't have anything to do, really, until I see those platforms and what I'm, and I do my very best. I'll tell them, you know. Now, guys, just because everybody thinks right and wrong has changed, it hasn't. And God didn't base any of this on race or races. It's all on His Word. Amen. See? So when you go look at that and you tell them, boy, now listen, this is not going to work. I ain't going to stand up there with you.
Amen.
And then I look over here and yeah, I can go there. And I do my best to tell them what the Word says about it. And it turns out just exactly like God said it would.
Amen.
And I vote. And I pray over that ballot. But I'm not voting because I have to live under that system. I'm voting because it is a moral responsibility in this nation. And I pray before God, and I seek God, and I do what I believe in my heart God wants me to do, and I do it for the reason of His Word, and I cast that vote. And once I've cast that vote, now then, praise God, I've been obedient, and whether my guy won or lost doesn't have anything to do with how I'm going to live the next 4 years. I've been obedient, and I'm walking in this system. I am in the Eden system. I've learned how to pray. I've learned how to sow my seed and stand on the Word of God. I am determined to be that 25% in the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel. 75% of them, for one reason or other, deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in and the cares of this world, stole the Word out of them. But there was 25% of them that all the same stuff came to them that they wouldn't let go of. They just stayed in the Word, stayed on the Word and said, no, it's going to go this way. I'm not moved by what I see, and I'm not moved by what I feel. I have no fear of evil tidings. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Copeland, what kept this crash from hurting you and Gloria? We don't owe any money. No, I didn't start that. I didn't start that after I got some money. I started that when we didn't have anything. We saw it in the Word, and we didn't know what we were going to do, but we declared it. The Word says stay out of debt. We stay out of debt. That right there, exercising our faith to obey that, separated us from that Babylonian system out there and all that shaking around. Jesus said if you build your house on the sand, it's going to come down. The sand is that confusion. It'll wash it out from under you. You build your house on the rock, that is because you're not confused about what's right and what's wrong. You haven't got two choices. Well, God said this, but I think that, and they said that. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Double-minded, unstable, is the same word that you get doubt. Doubt is double-minded. Doubt is having two thoughts. Well, God said this. Yeah, but what about that? Yeah, but God said this. Yeah, but you know, you can't do that. I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. God said it, it'll come to pass. Amen. Father, we praise you and thank you tonight. We enter into this place tonight. Oh, God. Revelation is coming. Words are coming alive. Faith is rising up on the inside of us. We are the Eden generation. We're the ones that will see this blessing come in full manifestation before this thing's over. We're the ones, we're the generation. We are the end time generation, chosen generation to walk in this in fullness. And we thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to be seated now. And we'll receive our evening offering. But now can you see why we waited until this evening? When James put it like this, he said, if you need an envelope for your giving, raise your hands to us, or it's given to you while I'm talking to you. James said, if you have bitterness in your heart, lie not against the truth. In other words, keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. When evil tidings come and it frightens you, even though you're born again, spirit-filled believer, and suddenly you just get blindsided, man, and things just caving in and folding in on all sides. No. Keep your mouth shut. You ain't qualified to speak yet. Don't lie against the truth. Shut up. And he went ahead to explain. He must have learned this watching Jesus in his own household. Jesus never did any miracles, but he lived by faith all of his life. He never did miracles until the wedding feast of Cana. But he lived by faith because he perfectly pleased God. So, he said, if you have bitterness in your heart, lie not against the truth, for this comes not from heaven, from above, but is earthly, it's sensual, and it's devilish. But then he goes ahead to describe the wisdom that comes from above. What is that? God's Word. It's pure. It's gentle, easy to be entreated. It's not hard. It's not complicated. And it's not mean to anybody. It doesn't cut out anybody. And it is without hypocrisy. You're not a hypocrite for saying that you are healed when there's evidence of symptoms in your body. You're simply calling things that be not as though they were. And they be. Amen?
Amen?
You're not a hypocrite for doing it. You're a hypocrite for saying you're a believer, but you won't say you're healed. So when you're confessing the Word, you're not a hypocrite. Isn't that great, man? I mean, that just lays it all right up in front of you. But where there's confusion, where there's strife, there's confusion, he said. And every evil work. Well, praise God, as the Lord leads, we'll get into those things because he talks about taming the tongue. And our authority over animals, we can train and tame other animals. But he said, with that same natural force, you can't tame the tongue. Because the tongue will take authority over you. Why? Because you speak out of your spirit and not out of your mind. And there's some processes there to get into. Amen. Ushers, go ahead and receive the offering. You've passed out the cards. Take your offering in your hand. This is a blessing seed. And the very moment that something happens, something disastrous, some wild kind of a thing comes up. Hey, tithe something. I get in the house, find something, give something. Not just sow a seed, tithe something. Commit something to God. Amen. I don't care if you have to find some old pair of shoes or something. I don't care what you got to get your hand on, some tithe something. As your commitment to God, I'm in this system and I'll not be moved. Praise God. My heart is fixed, trusting God. All their bad news is not getting to me. I'm not budging. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care. God, forgive me for being in debt. But now, that this debt-removing power of God, hallelujah, I release it in my life. Praise God. Amen. Oh, yeah. That's called grace. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And as you give, give, releasing the force of the blessing. It's in you. It's in you right now. It doesn't have to come from somewhere else. The word of faith which we preach is nigh you, even in your mouth. The scripture says it doesn't have to come from heaven. It doesn't have to come from over across the sea. It's in you right now. It's right there. All you have to do is release it. Hallelujah. Did you ever stop and think about that Job's healing and his deliverance was right there in him all the time? The thing that had Satan so hacked at God and really ticked off at Job and God and everybody else was, does he serve you for nothing? You have blessed him, and there's a wall around him. Aha! The blessing wall. Amen. And the moment that Job got back into faith, that wall went back up and bam! I mean, it took Satan right between the eyes and qualified him for the double.
Amen.
Because Satan tried to publicly shame him.
Yeah.
And the scripture promises, for your shame you shall receive the double.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And when all the politicians and all the news media and all of them jumped on Glory in Me earlier this year. Whoo, man, I didn't know I was such a bad guy. They come is telling me. Of course, I've got more sense than to read that stuff. And so, but I just shouted out loud. So I just started laughing and hollering. I said, Glory to my God, they've qualified us for the double. They're all mad. They're all mad. But they're all just mad because we're prospering. And they're just really ripped because preachers have got something, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's the devil's worst nightmare is a Holy Ghost baptized preacher's got money enough to do what he's supposed to do. And they all shook up. We just got to shouting about it and said, they qualified us for the double because they tried to publicly shame us. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a good life, brother. But you got to keep the bubble up. Amen. You got to walk in the bubble, brother. Amen. Don't get out of the bubble. Don't say something dumb.
Well, I just don't know. I just don't ever know what God's going to do. I just...
Shut up. Just keep your mouth shut.
Well, I'm trying... Shut up! Okay.
That's the way I started.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
And Gloria and I made a pact with one another. We're going to get our mouth straight. And we believe every word we say is going to come to pass. Oh, man. Well, she never did talk. I talk all the time. And, you know, for years, until the Lord called her to preach, she never talked. Just didn't say anything. Just quiet and smiled. You never knew what she's thinking. And I just yapped all the time. Now, think about it. Think about this. This is the Babylonian system functioning. Well, I'll tell you what. This thing is just... I just don't know what we're going to do. Why? Well, I don't know. I'm really scared to death here, man. I'm just thrilled to death.
Yeah.
My feet are just killing me. I laughed like I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
Whole conversation based on death and curse. And that thing is coming to pass. And it'll kill you in about 70, 75 years. When you should have lived to be 120. God said, the days of man shall be 120 on the earth.
Amen.
Not on 70 or 80. That's what happened to Israel in the desert wilderness. Well, how'd I get into tomorrow's lesson? I don't know. Why did God say 120? Because He needs you and me to live by faith in the blessing at least 120 years in order to get manifestation and revelation of the entire thing into the earth. You keep dying off at 75 or 80. And there's another 50, 60 years there that nobody's finding out what was in store. Till they get to heaven. You don't need it in heaven. You need it here. God needed us 120 or He wouldn't have said it. And I agree. And it ain't because I want to stay in this mess another 50 years. Or not quite 50 years, whatever it is. How old am I? No, I'm 72 years old, so that'd be 30, 28, yeah, something another like that. Amen. If He needs me here that long in order to finish the package of revelation that needs to come into the earth, then I'm willing. Because that's all I am in life anyway. Is I'm committed to Him. That's what I do. Is preach the word. I'll preach it when I go to heaven. I preach it while I'm here. If they put me in jail, I preach it in jail. And that's all I do. I just preach the word. And so, if that's what He wants, just fine with me. Amen. I'd rather not. I'd rather go on, you know. Or I'd really like to see Him just come on and get this thing over with. But I'm not the judge. Except for this. I am going to live by faith. And I am going to walk in the commandment of love and manifest that blessing. You know why? Because it's not only God's will. It's just the best thing going. I'm telling you, this is marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. I think you ought to stand up and give the Lord some more praise. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. City. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed. The blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich. My Father is rich. And I'm blessed. And I'm not blessed because I'm rich. I'm rich because I'm blessed. Glory, glory. Come on, Lynn. Come on, David. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.